Old news. You're bound to do me good.
Old news, yeah. Beaky River here and diving right in. San Francisco call. It's April 6th, 1890, out of Boston, April 5th. A student's death trap. Frightful fate of a Harvard undergraduate. His preparation for a steam bath costs him his life. Several Philadelphia firemen overcome by fumes of burning pepper. Special by the California Associated Press. While trying to take a steam bath, W.J. Furt, a young Westerner attending the Howard Medical School, was fatally scalded at his boarding house here on Thursday and died today. He had the boiler heater thoroughly and then going into the bathroom, closed it tight, built a seat of chairs over the tub and turned on the hot water faucet. As the tub filled, the steam rose, enveloping him. The tub filled with scalding water when the improvised seat collapsed, dumping the unfortunate man into the tub. He managed to crawl out, but when the door was burst open, he was found on the floor in a horrible condition, literally cooked. He died this morning. News brief out of New York. Blown to fragments, two lives lost by a dynamite explosion in a New York storehouse. An explosion of dynamite in Dittmar & Company's storehouse wrecked the premises and blew James H. Kellmeyer and Max Schultz to fragments. Nothing like a brief news story. No extraneous details. An imperial author. Out of London, a fantastic pamphlet is credited to the pen of Kaiser Wilhelm. According to this article, he's credited with the authorship of a sensational pamphlet just published anonymously in Berlin in which imperial socialism is fully explained and justified. The emperor sees the monarchical principle gradually sinking, but the fact simply stimulates him to daring deeds. This booklet is said to be, quote, pitched in a falsetto key, highly suggestive of Kaiser Wilhelm and his program, is so melodramatic and fantastic that it may well be the creation of his restless brain. But for the moment, the authorship is discoverable only by conjecture and influence. Oh, man. All those crazy socialists. Golly, there's even a little article and an illustration, kind of a little circle with Hebrew letters, for the Feast of the Passover. Yes, the inauguration of the great Jewish festival. And it goes on to explain the manna and the matzos. Oh, yes. And, yes, there weren't, comic strips back in that day, really, but there is a little column of squibs, so to speak, called Something to Laugh At. Let's take a look at some of these and see if humor is at all compatible. The Washington Post says the color comes off the new red stamps. Been trying to wash them, eh? A bare supposition, Mrs. Fig. What state is the Cherokee Strip in, dear? Mr. Fig. A state of nature, I suppose. Yeah, don't you know, if there are anything I love it, it's calves' brains.
Oh, the cannibal.
Yeah, it's like these one-liners and then the comeback. New York dude says, I say, Charlie, don't you know? New York dude Tude says bitterly, shoot the Cockney style, Fred. The English are all hurrahing for Chicago. Yeah, I guess this, one more. We'll try one more. A young man was calling on a congressman's daughter the other evening when the father appeared at the parlor door. May I come in? He asked hesitatingly. Oh, yes, she answered, you may, but we have a quorum without you. Okay, back to the news. Oh, yes. A novelty in surgery. Philadelphia, April 5th. April 6th. 1890 San Francisco call. A novelty in surgery, an abnormally large pair of ears reduced to a presentable size. Two photographs have been hung in the Jefferson Medical College. They are portraits without faces. They show the back of one's head. The hair and conformation prove that the two pictures represent the same individual, and yet there is a striking difference, for in one case, the ears are normal, while in the other, they stand out disfiguringly from the sides of the head. Oh, man. Cosmetic surgery is a happening, and let's see if we can get a little bit more detail of when this has happened. It's a professional secret who the patient was of the picture, but the patient was discovered in the person of Charles N. Forrester of Camden, just across the river in New Jersey. He is studying for entry into the ministry, and he says, "I don't mind the publication of my name at all. Why should I? My friends are all aware of my big ears and of my good riddance of them. They were not only a deformity, but they seriously disabled me for my chosen career. Of course, there is a jocose view to take of the matter, but nobody can be better humored than I am about it, for I am now at least presentable. The operation didn't make an ugly man handsome, but it gave me a good pair of ears." Let's see, ring news. I've been looking at the sports. They're really, I mean, there's some news of like some local San Francisco Pacific. It's 1890 Pacific Coast League. There's a lot of like Olympic-like sports, you know, people throwing javelins and sprinters and that sort of thing, but that's not interesting. Let's face it. Let's jump right to the boxers, huh? Oh, yeah. The next Fistic exhibition will take place in the California Club between Jimmy Carroll and Billy Smith. Light heavyweights for the purse of $1,600. I'm going to just completely edit this out because it is boring. Boring. Some special notices in the advertising section. Houses built by day, cheaper than by contract. No charge for plans. Jobbing promptly attended to. Albertson's Builder, 416 Shotwell Street, apartment 61M. A card. John Huey, inventor of the famous Huey Bed Lounge, sincerely thanks the public for the liberal patronage given the lounge for the very first time it was put on the market in this city, where it was invented, and now it is a well-known fact that it is the lounge all over the United States. In fact, any lounge that looks like the Huey Lounge finds ready purchasers, and many a housekeeper who goes out and buys a out to purchase a Huey Lounge, I don't think it's Huey, there's just one O there, instead brings home an imitation and thereby unwittingly defrauds the inventor of the fruits of his labor, as well as being imposed on themselves. The only way to avoid all this is to see that the inventor's name is stamped on them, as I am now very particular to stamp Huey's patent on all that I make. Another good way to avoid being imposed on is to have a dealer write on your bill of sale, Huey Patent Bed Lounge, and when you get home and should find out differently, you and I can have the dealer arrested for fraud and violation of letters patent. Penalty, $100, respectfully, John Huey. P.S. The reason I do not give the number of my factory is that it is more convenient to get them from the dealers in furniture. Ah, yes, and supporting his retailers. What a guy. Ah, oh boy, massage treatment, new lady assistance, 230 O'Farrell Street, apartment 2. I'm heading over there right now. Gas fixtures of all kinds, very cheap from Huffschmidt. Books bought and sold, King Brothers, 34th Street near Market Street. Bad tenants ejected for $4. Collections made city or county. Pacific Collection Company, 528 California Street, room 3. Oh, boy. Mabel Ayer, young healer, 917 Market Street. I wonder if she's one of those Blue Menanga healers. Oh, advertising. It was a golden age. Aha! Science! Effects of coffee, results of an interesting series of experiments at Rio de Janeiro.
For the thorough investigation of the effect of coffee upon various substances, many experiments have been performed in Rio de Janeiro, dogs being the subjects experimented upon. Several canines were confined in a spacious enclosure so they would not perish from lack of exercise, some of them being fed on meat, while others were being given mixed food, and the weight of the food eaten by each dog daily was noted. After getting the dogs accustomed to such living, they were given daily a certain amount of coffee, which was always prepared in the same way. It was noticed after a few days there was a perceptible quickening in the circulation of the blood and of respiration, a rise in the temperature of the body, and a larger quantity of food was consumed when they were given coffee than when they were not. Hence, we can see from this that coffee has a tendency to increase the demand for food. On the other hand, the dog that was given the choice of either lard or sugar pudding died on the ninth day. Okay. Was that supposed to make sense? From other experiments, it has been ascertained that coffee diminishes the quantity of gases in the blood but increases the amount of sugar and urea. A dog that was fed on water only lived 31 days, while one that was given coffee beside the water lived only 13. From this, it can be seen that coffee may be compared to meat broth, beef tea, which not only nourishes, but increases the need of more nourishment. Coffee aids the blood to take up a great deal more nourishment than it would without it, and therefore it is beneficial to those persons who lead an outdoor life or have an abundance of exercise. People living entirely on vegetable food should avoid drinking coffee. According to The Lancet, Dr. Luderitz has recently made a number of observations on the destructive power of coffee on various microbes. He found that the organisms all died in a longer or shorter period. In one series of experiments, anthrax bacilli were destroyed in 3 hours, anthrax spores in 4 weeks, cholera bacilli in 4 hours, and the streptococcus of erysipelas in 1 day. Good and bad coffee produce precisely similar effects.
April 7th.
12 drowned, a result of a Mississippi flood casualty accident caused by a landslide on the West Shore Road. Memphis, reports from the lower Mississippi indicate a rise more or less heavy. The river is falling rapidly at Cairo today and is expected to fall rapidly from now on. Let's see. A party of Negroes lately arrived in Louisiana from North Carolina got on an improvised raft to escape the overflow in the Bogalewa and, being unused to navigation, ran up against a stump and wrecked the craft. 12 women and children were drowned. From LaSalle, New York, over Niagara Falls, supposed fate of William A. Welsh, a well-known hunter. Out of LaSalle, New York, William A. Welsh, well known as a Niagara River hunter, is believed to have been carried over Niagara Cataract. He has been missing a week. Sunday last, he went hunting muskrats with his stepson. The two separated at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when Welsh was rowing toward the Canadian shore. Soon after, a hurricane arose, and there is little doubt that Welsh, unable to make the shore or land on Goats Island, went over the falls. One of the oars of his boat has been picked up below the falls. Oh, the rough and adventurous life of the 19th century. Out of St. Petersburg, Russia. Only those implicated in the disorders of 1888 to be expelled, the riotous students. The student disorders have practically ended, the holidays having taken a majority of the students to the country. It has been decided that only those shall be expelled who are implicated in the disorders of 1888. The Tsar, Tsarina family, and the Queen of Greece attended the fete of mounted guards today, which was April 6th, which we're reading once again from the San Francisco Call, Volume 67, Number 138, 7th of April, 1890. Old news. The North Pole. Norwegian navigators still cling to the idea of discovering the North Pole. Their hopes are based upon the fact that various articles from the Pacific area are occasionally found stranded on the coast of Greenland, having been carried there by some current. A notable incidence of this is the finding there of a pair of oilskin trousers marked with the name of one of the crew of a vessel that having been wrecked on the Pacific side of the Bering Straits. It is argued that where a pair of trousers can go, a properly constructed vehicle ought to be able to follow by virtue of a supposed current between the two oceans via the Arctic Pole. Ah, the people who are talked about column. Professor Alexander Agassiz will spend most of the coming summer at his Newport home. Let's see. Elaine Goodale, the elder of the poet's sister of Sky Farm, among the Berkshire Hills, has been appointed supervisor of education for the Sioux Indians. Prince Albert Victor of Wales recently shot his first tiger at Jaipur, India. If he had kept out of the way of the London tiger earlier, he would be better off now. Some historian might know what that means. Rochefort has taken the fancy to become a designer or sketcher and daily passes a few hours in drawing amateur pictures of a comic character akin to political cartoons. Let's see, anything else interesting here? No, that's Rothschild here. Walter D. Rothschild, who has just been admitted to partnership in the great financial house of his family, is the oldest son of Lord Rothschild and is just 22 years of age. He was educated at Trinity College, Cambridge. Poisoned corn. Emma Stark, Newman's domestic, charged with murder. Emma Stark, the domestic that placed poison in a can of corn that caused the death of Mr. and Mrs. Newman, was arrested last night at the Park Theater, a low resort. She denied that her name was Stark or that she had worked for the Newmans, but she was positively identified by young Newman and the matron of the Anchorage Mission who had sent her to Newman's. The girl told a number of improbable stories and was locked up on a charge of murder. Mr. Newman's son is fully recovered, but the daughter is still low, and fears are entertained for her recovery.
And, yes, that'll do it for this time around. Thanks for listening. The Overnightscape Underground and Rubber Room Entertainment Laboratories have brought you me, PQ Rubber, and Old News. Tune in again. We'd appreciate it.